John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. For a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about demonstrating the love of a disciple. It's good to see everyone out today. This weather is a big change from what we usually have this time of the year, but it's a welcome change. Hopefully, we will not have any bad weather to prevent us from getting out, and it'll be smooth sailing on into spring. In the Great Commission, Jesus wanted his apostles to make disciples. Matthew 28, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he tells his apostles to make disciples. A disciple is a learner, a follower, and Jesus wants us to learn from him. Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." Well, what does Jesus expect of us? Discipleship involves many different things, but especially that we love. When we read Peter's epistle in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But then the question becomes, what are we to love? And how can we manifest that love? Well, one of the first things to consider is a disciple loves the Lord. Jesus taught that we should love God. Matthew 22 and verse 37, he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." And this was not a new commandment. He was quoting from back in Deuteronomy. This is what God has always wanted, that we love him with our all, with everything that we have. It's the great and foremost commandment. If we get that wrong, everything else is wrong. His disciple John wrote that loving God must also mean loving his son, 1 John 5:1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him." So we love God, we love the Lord. And Jesus expressed this same thought as John, but conversely in John 15. "He who hates me hates my Father also." So we love God, we love his Son. If we hate the Son, we hate the Father. So a disciple of Jesus is one who loves both the Father and the Son. Well, what else are we to love? We're to love the brethren. And Jesus made this the mark of true discipleship, which we just read in John 13, that we love one another, and he qualifies that as, "I have loved you." And he states, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's not by the type of clothing we wear, by wearing a little sign or some mark of identification that we're a disciple of Christ. We're identified as disciples of Christ by the love that we show to the brethren. And John made it a sign of spiritual life in 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. So a disciple of Jesus is one who loves his fellow disciples. So we love the Lord, we love the brethren. What else are we to love? We're to love the lost. God the Father certainly loved the lost. John 3:16, everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loved the lost. He loved me. He loved you so much that he sent his Son to come and die in our place, that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus loved the lost. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Jesus loved the lost. He had compassion on them, and the people knew that, and they would come out to see him. And there were so many that were coming, he told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I think nothing has changed today. There are so many lost souls out there that we need to reach, but the laborers, the workers are few. And what do? We need to pray to God to send out workers into his harvest. Paul loved the lost. Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation." And he goes on later in that chapter to say, and the sad thing is, they've not all been saved, though. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews, and to those who are under the law as under the law, do not be myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, they're not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." So that's a little wordy and gets a little confusing, but the end of it sums it up. "I become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." That doesn't mean that he changed his character or his conduct, but he approached everybody out there, everybody, teaching them where they were, what they needed to know that they might be saved. So Christ wants us to be his disciples. To be his disciples, we must learn to love. We must learn to love the Lord, love the brethren, love the lost. And I say we must learn this. You think, well, that would just come natural. But it doesn't, because everybody has their own idea of what it means to love the Lord. Some think to love the Lord just means sitting at home and saying, "I love you, Lord," and that's enough. Or loving the brethren, everybody has different ideas. So we must learn to love by going to God's Word, where God's Word teaches us how to love. So how do we demonstrate these loves that we are to have for the Lord, the brethren, and the lost? One of the ways we demonstrate this love is through worship. And this is how we can best demonstrate our love for God, assuming that our worship is in harmony with what Jesus has revealed. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. When we learn to worship God, demonstrate our love in worship, in spirit, we don't just go through the motions. We don't just look at it as, what's the least we can do? We don't look at it as, well, I can check that off the list so I can watch the football game tonight. We don't just go through the motions. We come before God with a broken and contrite spirit, realizing that our sin has separated us from God. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And how do we know what truth is? By God's word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The word that I've spoken, it is truth. Not the words of some men. We've got to keep his commandments. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, you'll love me. Because you see some people that think that's how it works. Well, he said, you know, to come on the first day of the week, and he said to do this and do that. I've done all of that. That doesn't guarantee that they love God. And a lot of times people that just do that because they feel like they have to don't love God. But when you learn to love God, all of those things, you aren't going to be able to stop somebody from doing that. When somebody loves God and they understand we need to be here in the assembly to exhort and encourage one another, we need to be here to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't stop that person from being here. Somebody says, let's go fishing, let's go shopping today, let's go here, let's go there. No, I've got an appointment with my Lord. It's the first day of the week. John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Why did Jesus do what the Father wanted him to do? Because he loved him. And when we think about a father-son relationship, it helps us to understand what God expects of us and how we should respond to God. And we're to worship God in two different ways. One of those is through our public assemblies. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. Not forsaking our own assembling together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not this, but that. Not forsaking, but encouraging. Encouraging one another. How can you encourage one another if you aren't present? That's why we are not to forsake. Not forsaking our own assembling together is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, we demonstrate our love through worship in the assembly and by private devotions. Matthew 6, 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So we worship publicly, we worship privately. Disciples demonstrate love for God through public worship and through private devotion. Not one or the other, but both. We demonstrate our love to God through worship, through fellowship. And this is how we can best demonstrate our love for the brethren by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We have fellowship when we come together. We're to fellowship one another. And by coming together as a church for the Lord's Supper and other means of edification, we have fellowship one with another. Again, how can we have fellowship with everyone else if we are not present? 1 Corinthians 14:26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. We come here to be edified. I come here to be edified by you. I need to be built up. I try to build you up, and I need to be built up by you. We demonstrate our love through worship and by extending hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:8-9. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. You know, cultures are different, times are different, but again, going back to God's word, we learned that God's children are to be a hospitable people. That doesn't mean entertain people. That's our idea of hospitality today. Hospitality was entertaining strangers, like when the angels appeared to Abraham, showing hospitality to any, to everybody, not knowing who they are. Sometimes you see people, well, so-and-so invited us over to our house. They invited us over to their house. Now we have to invite them over to our house. It's like, we'll keep score. That's not hospitality. It's just getting together, being hospitable to one another without complaint. Oh, do we have to go there again? We see that manifested in different ways, and we can see that's not the love that God wants us to have. When we love one another and we demonstrate that love through hospitality, we love getting together. We love getting together, just a couple or just all of us, but we love getting together. Disciples demonstrate love for the brethren through fellowship in the church and in the home. We demonstrate the love of a disciple through evangelism. There's no better way to show love for the lost than teaching the lost what they need to do to be saved. Jesus manifested his compassion in this way. But stop and think about that. What, you see someone that's lost, what's the best way that you can show them that you love them? You try to teach them what they need to do to be saved. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35, and Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Again, we live in a society that is so fast-paced. I think a lot of times we don't even take the time to feel anything for people, let alone compassion. Jesus felt compassion for them. And compassion, you feel their pain. You want to ease their pain. And a lot of people don't realize that they're lost. But we need to demonstrate our love by teaching them as we can. We demonstrate our love by calling for prayer in behalf of the lost. We pray for them regularly. We pray for them here. We should pray for them individually. Again, publicly and privately, pray for the lost. Pray for people by name. People, we've talked about this before, we can come up with a list of individuals that we know that we individually pray for. Jesus hears and answers our prayers. Sometimes I think we might not see our prayers answered as quickly as we would like to, and we think God's not listening. But back to what I was talking about Wednesday evening with Peter and Jesus, and how Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. And Jesus prayed for Peter, and Jesus is going to pray for us. And if we could only hear Jesus in that next room praying for us and for the prayers that we pray, and we can't, but we can know that He is praying for us and He will answer our prayers. We can show our concern for the lost in different ways through personal evangelism. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks Him to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. What if somebody comes up and they ask us a question, and we don't have to know the whole Bible, but they ask us a basic Bible question, and we say, let me get back with you. And we may never see that person again. We need to always be ready. Our memory workbooks. Keep an extra copy of those in your car, in different places. You meet somebody, it's got the plan of salvation. It's got verses to help us with everything. An outline of the books of the Bible. John 1, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's like we were talking about in class this morning. He's just the son of Joseph. He's just the carpenter's son. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And what did Philip say? He said, come and see. Come and see. We can invite people when they say, oh, your church is nothing, your Lord is nothing, this is nothing. Just say, come and see. Come and see. Romans 10, 14, 15. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. See, it all starts with getting that message out. And he's not saying that a preacher's feet are beautiful, but you get the idea. It's beautiful that someone was sent to preach to someone to save their soul because people loved their soul so much. They were demonstrating the love of a disciple by teaching someone. So we go a long way to becoming a true disciple of Jesus by loving the Lord, by loving the brethren, and by loving the lost. We go a long way in demonstrating such love through public worship and private worship. Fellowship with one another both in the church and in the home. And engaging in evangelism. And there are so many ways that all of us can engage in evangelism. You don't have to stand up here to engage in evangelism. The materials that we have, the cards that we have, the DVDs. Giving people information about our website. Because if we say we are a disciple of God, we've got to learn how to love and what to love. We love the Lord. We love the brethren. We love the lost. And then again, it's not enough just to give it lip service and say, I love God. We've got to demonstrate it. We say, I love the lost. Well, that's good. I've got to demonstrate it. And many Christians love only partially. Some will worship God in public, but never at home. Some will worship God at home and think that the assembly is not important. Friends, we cannot worship God halfway. It's not either or, it's both. Both serve a purpose. If we try one and not the other, something is missing. Something important is missing. No matter how much we love as disciples of Christ, we can always improve. Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, demonstrating the love of a disciple." Perhaps this study this morning, demonstrating the love of a disciple, can help us to improve our love. Jesus again told his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Friends, God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for us, send his son to die for the sins that we committed. He gave us a plan. He told us what we need to do, how we can learn to be pleasing and obedient to him. And it's up to us to accept his love and love him in return by obedience. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.